Okay, Proverbs chapter 12. Of course, I would have remembered them all, you know, straight off my head. No problem. Not. Okay, Proverbs 12. I want to talk tonight, title is Words, subtitle Two Kinds of Swords. Interesting aspect. The sword, we know. Lots of swords in the Old Testament, literal ones. But here, the author of this proverb says in verse 18, "There is that speaketh like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Okay, so this presents really two sides of something. Saying that the sword is like speaking and it can be piercing, but on the other hand, the tongue can be, if it's in a wise person, can be for health. So there's the bad and then there's the good. And it's interesting, the sign that really always caught my eye at Osterland High School in the student services building was you walked in and there was a desk there, I mean, the lady behind there, and there was a big sign on the front and it said, "Words are like swords," and a picture of someone and a, you know, a sword coming out of their mouth and people getting hurt. And basically what they're saying, lots of people were quite vulnerable at school and they would go into student services all emotional wreck because they'd been bullied verbally or whatever. Someone had said something and they just couldn't face the rest of the day and they'd go down to student services. And it was just reminding people, you know, be careful with what you say. They're like swords. And that's what it's saying here. That speaketh like the piercings of a sword. And but on the other hand, if we use our tongue wisely, then it's health. Let's go to Psalm 64, where David experienced this. I'm going to read this whole psalm, 10 verses. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." So David has sat down and written these words, inspired by God, and then written some music for it, and he's... What do they play? Harp. A harp. And I said, chief musician, you know, put this thing together and sung it. Anyway, here it goes. Verse 1. "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." And David had a lot of enemies, and here he's saying that they wet their tongue, a bit like a sword, you know, on a stone and making it sharp and keen. And it's like they actually practice with their tongue, perhaps, to make it as sharp and keen as possible and speak these bitter words, which are like arrows, aren't they? I mean, sometimes you've probably all experienced it. Sometimes someone says a word and it's like you've been shot with an arrow. Verse 4. "That they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep." In other words, they're searching out, you know, your faults. So they can, your iniquities, a diligent search. So they can sort of wait for the perfect moment and then fire that bow with a bitter word or the tongue that's been wetted, ready to cut. And it's a diligent thing they do. And it's like they're driven to by some sort of hatred or envy or resentment or whatever the motive is to hurt. And then verse 7, it turns around a bit. "God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." So, you know the old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Words are the worst. And that's what that sign at Austin High School was basically saying. That's worse. And it's saying here that the Lord will turn that situation around when people do look for that chink, for that weakness, that thing that you do have. We all have faults, and people want to search them out so that they can attack at that area. And we know that people, you know, who are not very scrupulous, if they want to blackmail someone, they'll look for their weaknesses, won't they, so that they can then get a hold over them. There's no good sort of threatening a good person who's, if they haven't done their diligent search and found out, you know, where their weakness is. So David certainly experienced it, but just the way he expresses it is very apt, like a tongue being like a sword, and that also the bitter words, which are like arrows, which strike deep into someone. Okay, well, let's go up to the New Testament to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Probably the only verse that's really about, in the New Testament, about specifically about gossip, I suppose, but how words can be harmful. And this is talking specifically about a fellowship situation. Here, Paul writing to Timothy, giving him pastoral advice to a younger pastor, or an apostle, so advice to a young pastor, and he says to him about the younger widows that have become wanton in verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And this verse is actually mentioned in the pastor's manual. And I'll read it to you, the little section. And it says, a lot of scripture here. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, disciplined ones, that you love one another." A wonderful feature of the Spirit-filled church is that we are able to fulfill Jesus' words. This love is of God and not of men. Therefore, anything that would hurt another person's feelings is not born of love. Gossiping is an evil thing in that it causes more harm than can be imagined. James tells us that the tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that it can be controlled. Gossip has no place in our fellowship. And that's what it says. And, you know, the point that it makes there that it's an evil thing that it causes more harm than can be imagined. Well, it's quite true, isn't it? It actually can cause a festering to begin. And often it starts innocently enough, just with a, you know, tattlers here, busybodies, oh, have you heard sort of thing. But then it can grow. It can go like wildfire. And, of course, James talks about that. When he talks about the tongue, he says, what a fire this little thing kindleth. You know, it starts a fire that starts to rage and take over. You know, we think of eucalypts burning, as we've recently had. They don't just sort of burn with a bit of lapping flame, do they? They kind of explode and then go poof, you know, with all the eucalypt oil and whatnot, eucalyptus. So it goes like that. It goes like wildfire. And, you know, I guess in human nature there is that element that's curious and, just, you know, it just touches something carnal in people, and, you know, it's easy to repeat, perhaps. It's a bit like, you know, they say money in the pocket for some, it burns holes in the pocket, you know, it can't stay there, it's got to get out. Well, secrets can sometimes be a bit like that. They burn holes, they want to get out, they want to be told, and sometimes you can't remember what's a secret and what isn't. Was this a secret? Wasn't it? Oops, too late, it's already gone, you know. It's like that moment in Pride and Prejudice, if you've ever seen that, where, what's her name? What's the young one's name? Lydia goes, oh, was I supposed to, you know, it's too late, it's out. So we just want to make sure that we do love one another in every respect. We pray for one another, we're pretty good at that. You know, we get out messages out on social media and we pray for one another, but this is one other thing we can do. It's more of a not doing thing, isn't it? You know, you think of doing things, I'm going to get down and I'm going to have a pray for such and such. But to sort of go and see someone and actually you know something and not say it, it's almost harder. It's a not doing. There's the doing and the not doing, and this is a not doing. So, And it's not always easy. And sometimes it's easier to say, someone says, have you heard? I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Because if it's in there, it's possible it could come out again, you know, and without realizing, that was a secret. I shouldn't be saying that. So just as a thought tonight about, as I say, the two kinds of swords. And David talked about the bitterness of words, and we certainly know that immediate effect of the wound of words, but also the slow burn effect of words, you know, as it spreads around, can be highly destructive and cause, to quote the manual, more harm than can be imagined, and has no place in our fellowship. And I'm not saying all this because there's a problem, but, you know, just worth remembering from time to time, you know, what different aspects there are of our fellowship, our behaviours, what the scriptures say, these sorts of things. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon again, very wise and perceptive. And here in verse 21, also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. So in other words, don't be too eager to hear everything everyone's saying, you know, in hushed tones, because you never know, it could be talking about you. And, you know, if you get indignant, we'll think, have you ever done that too? You know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and so on. So as another thing about becoming mature, as it just in the world, but also as a saint, is not to worry too much about everything that's said. People may say things about you, and there's no point worrying about it. I mean, I think I've said this before as a teacher, you know, that sometimes students aren't going to be happy with you, and they're going to maybe say things about you and talk to each other about you and whatnot. And if you're sort of worried about everything they said, you wouldn't be an effective teacher. You know, you're not always going to be popular. And most teachers get to this point where they say, I'm not here to win popularity contests, because if the kids know you are trying to win a popularity contest, they use it against you. You know, oh, well, Mr. Such and Such next door lets us do this. You know, he's a nice guy and so on. So don't care. Is this, am I right, Lucia? Yes. So you just be yourself. So don't worry about what the students are saying. Don't worry about what other people are saying. You know, you've done it yourself. Another one in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is even more severe on us. In verse 20, it says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Wow, that's pretty hard, isn't it? Don't even say it. You don't even think it. Not even in your thought. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. Things leak out, in other words. So even if you're saying it in your thought, I don't know why that is. Maybe because if you think it, it might possibly pop out as a saying, you know, and then it's not in here, it's out there somewhere. And anything can happen after that. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. So even in your bedroom where you think it's private. It's amazing how often politicians get caught out by mics that are just dangling right there in front of them. You know, Peter Dutton up in the Pacific Islands somewhere making a joke about, oh, we'll all have the water lapping at the door in a minute. And, of course, it was a conference for all the Pacific Islands to come and talk about global warming and how they need Australia to step up and do something so that they wouldn't be underwater. And he's making jokes about it. And, you know, and lots of other things. I remember a famous one, Gordon Brown, when he lost the election, and he talked to a lady, got into his car, and he was, you know, who put that lady in front of me? She's, you know, a silly old woman and worse. And you know, it was all recorded. It was splashed all across the front of the newspapers. So there he was, trying to be Mr. Nice Guy to her, and gets in the car with his minders and just lets rip. But of course, you know, everyone does it. You know, we don't. We'd be casting the first stone if we said, you know, what a terrible person he was. We've never done anything like that, have we? Anyone? Yeah. So, lots of advice from the scriptures. Luke chapter 12. It's a bit scary, actually. But there's nothing like a bit of hard experience to teach you the lesson. Verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he, Jesus, began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. I knew that verse even before I came to the Lord, and it scared me. You know, I thought, you know, gosh, there's nothing hidden that won't be known. You know, people think no one's going to see this thing or that thing. The leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven, of course, is like yeast, something that gets in and spreads. And he said, don't let it get in and spread in the church that we're going to have. This is hypocrisy. You know, saying one thing, doing another, not being people of integrity and so on. It says, because those things might be covered for a while, but they always come out in the end. Nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And I think, you know, although we are perfect in the Lord's sight by the Holy Spirit, he knows that we're still, you know, and he doesn't see our carnality and so on. He does urge us through the scriptures to behave ourselves godly. You know, what manner of persons ought we to be? To be people that are like a city set on a hill, you know, that can be looked at and admired and shed light towards others and so on. So, yes, we are righteous and God only sees perfection, but at the same time, you know, in the world we've got to be this example. And hypocrisy is nothing worse than hypocrisy for sort of making people not respect what you stand for, you know, the fact that we stand for the Lord. Well, you know, if you represent the Lord, well, I don't want to have anything to do with it. People feel that way about, you know, the Catholic Church because of child abuse. In Ireland, apparently, you know, they're just so, people are so affected by all of that, they just lost all their support. There used to be incredible support for priests and respect for priests in Ireland, 100 years ago even, and now it's just all gone. That respect wasn't really deserved in the first place, so it's just been uncovered now, and everyone's seen it. And it reminds me of a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, in talking to the saints, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. So if something's been done wrong, there always seems to be a consequence, even in the Lord. It comes out, and there's a chastening, and no chastening for the present seems joyous but grievous. So Hebrews 12 talks about that chastening, and that everyone who God loves, he chastens. Sooner or later, you're going to get it. And if you've done wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong which you've done. There's no respect of persons. It doesn't matter how high or low or what role or what ministry or anything like that. Then it's all going to come out. So those two scriptures really go together. Luke 12:2 and Colossians 3:25. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the word of the Lord also cuts. It cuts people when they hear it. Sometimes people get angry because it has sort of cut away their beliefs and divided, and it's two-edged. And it cuts both ways. And this is the sword that's good. And we read in our first scripture in Proverbs 12 that there could be these words that have pierced like swords and cause damage and bitterness. But the word of God, it does cause people to get angry, but it is good because it brings life and truth to people and divides, you know, what's wrong from what's right. People can choose. Choose life this day or choose death. You know, which one do you want? Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Just verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And this is John talking about Jesus being the word. He also wrote The Gospel of John, where the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus. And he's saying here that he which was from the beginning of time, Jesus, which we, the apostles, have heard, we've seen him with our own eyes, we've looked on him, and we've actually handled him. In other words, you know, we've actually shaken hands with him, you know, touched him and so on, of the Word of life. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is a sword. So what do we have inside us? Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We have the sword sort of with us all the time, the word of the Lord. We'll just finish in 2 Timothy chapter 1, second letter of the Apostle Paul to the pastor in Ephesus. And in verse 13, Paul says this to him, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ." That's your sword, those sound words that we've been taught, the ones that not only offer people the gospel but are also able to comfort one another, and a brother or a sister. They're able to bring out scriptural principles and do good things. So just a reminder, there's two kinds of swords. They're both words. Some are for good, for bad, and some are for good health. So let's just always make sure we are promoting good health in our fellowship. And all the people said, Amen.